And here's where I draw your attention to a man who was rejected, a man whose life was very much turned upside down because of rebellion, because of family, because of friends who rejected him, and that was King David. He was totally in a situation of being abandoned by his friends. And yet in the midst of it, he was able to say, "Blessed is the man." We take our reading from Psalm 84. Let's just read it together. Amen. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, O my King, O my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they are still praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. And they go from strength to strength. Each one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Listen, the Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord will give grace. And no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." This psalm describes a life of faith in the midst of rejection. A man who is longing for God, even as he goes through a valley of weeping. I want you, first of all, to understand that we live by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. I need you to understand that we need to walk by faith, not by sight. I need you to understand and embrace the promises of God are there for you, that he has given to us all things that we need for life and for godliness. However, on the other side of that, we need to also remember sometimes things happen in life that we have no control. We don't fully understand. That could be circumstances, that could be sickness, that could be something that goes wrong in life. And sometimes it happens when we pray and fast and pray and fast, and still we don't seem to get a breakthrough. However, God is still God. And this is where I'm taking you this morning, that you understand that God is with you in good and in bad. Amen. And please remember, when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, we read of the great heroes of faith. But there were those heroes who were tortured. There are those that we read who lost their lives. There are those who were sawn in half. They are listed, and they're not listed by name. And Paul, or the writer, just says, "and others." So please understand that whilst we walk in triumph always, there's another side where sometimes life doesn't always work out. Do you follow me? Are you with me there? I think sometimes as Pentecostals we can come across where we're totally triumphant, that we have life all together, that somehow, you know, when we can't identify with the pain and suffering that sometimes happens in life. This I do know, that I will praise him always. Not just in good times, but in bad times, because he's always God. And this guy, I believe it was King David, who was going through a period of rejection, A period where he was longing for God and longing to worship God in Jerusalem. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you thirsty for God? Really, really, really thirsty for God? Do you long for God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? Are you just content with a little of God, just enough to appease your conscience that you, yes, you have eternal life and that's great? No, but do you really want God? Really want to worship him and honor him in life? Oh Lord, oh my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And I pray that God would create in all of us a desire that we will worship him, not just today, but at the workplace, in the marketplace. We would discover that the marketplace is our place of worship. Amen. That when we go to the marketplace tomorrow, we will bring something of God's presence to our workplace. You need to understand that your work is your place of worship. Sometimes we think, oh, I come to church on Sundays to worship. You've got it all wrong. Your life is worship. And how you work for your boss tomorrow will reflect your worship unto him. And if you're not working well for him, if you're not working well, if you're stealing for him, then you are not worshiping God, are you? Your place of worship will be tomorrow morning in the workplace. And here this psalmist, he was longing to worship God. I pray we will long to worship the Lord our God. From the very outset of the psalm, we see his desire. Oh, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. Oh, it longs. It even faints for the courts of the Lord. You can just see the expression of his heart longing for God, longing to worship him in Jerusalem. And then he goes to verse 5 and he says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Blessed is the man. And by the way, that's you ladies included in that verse 2. You understand when we use the word man in scripture, okay? Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. What did I read earlier on? Of his fullness we have received grace, grace to grace. Grace just being supplied, renewed daily, hourly, whenever we need it. God is just supplying it. Our strength is in him. We need to remind ourselves that God is the strength of our lives. Our strength, our sufficiency, our power, our resource is found not in our human intellect, not in our own human ability, but in the Lord our God. Amen. As you get older, you kind of look back in the rear mirror more, don't you? Well, you see, you're not admitting it. You look in the rear mirror. And I can remember, it's 40 years ago, I was preparing myself to go to Bible college in the September of that year. 40 years. I know, Patsy, I don't look it. But I was a baby when I went to Bible college. I can remember in the preparation of those years or months, because I became a Christian in 75. I remember God calling me and a real call to serve him. And I didn't make the most of my education. I just played golf, which was a wasteful time. However, that's another story. And God said, I'm calling you. I said, no, I'm not going. I can't. I said, God, I'm afraid of people. God said, no, that's no excuse. God reminded me continually that he is the strength of my life, that I can do all things through Christ. I said, God, I can't go. I can't preach. I had a speech stutter. I had a speech impediment. And there's even certain words now I'll try and avoid. However, God said, with me, you can do all things. All things are possible. That was the one verse that kept me going. That in Christ, he is the strength of my life. And you need to discover, if you're going to live this Christian journey, if you're going to really honor God and be obedient, it is not in your strength, but it's in the strength of the Lord your God. And sometimes we become too confident in ourselves, and we think we can live life without God. We can't live life without God. We need God. I need grace more today than I did then. But of his fullness, I have received grace from grace. Amen. Not just a little portion on the day I became a Christian, but God gives me grace every day. Because I need to understand that he is the strength of my life. And you too need to understand that it's not by human intellect or your own human strength, but by God. God is the source of your strength. Praise God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Blessed is the man. We need to remind ourselves that the condition for us to live in this blessedness is faith in our God. Remember, the gospel is good news, and the just shall live by faith. So we receive Christ by faith, but we walk in Christ by faith. Blessed. It is a non-changing blessedness. No matter what the circumstances may be, I still know an inner peace and joy because my life is not governed by what I see. It's not governed by what I feel. It is governed by a faith that God has given to me. Amen. Blessed is the man. The man. No ordinary man. This man has been set apart for God. Set apart for God's blessing. Church, aren't you so glad that God has revealed his love to you? Amen. Like, if you were to go through life, all your life, and end up in a grave, not knowing Christ, what is life? What is life? I had to take a funeral on Friday, really, of a young man who died in police custody. They still are trying to get to the bottom of all that happened. But I think of life. What is life? If I were to live my life to the full, if it be 70 years, 80 years, what happens next? I'm so glad I have come to know the love of God. Because God has given me eternal purpose. And when I do die, and I will die, thank God, I will pass from death unto life because it's already happened. Aren't you glad that you too are blessed? Blessed is the man. You're blessed. Blessed. No ordinary man, he's been set apart for God. And we too have been set apart for God. Because the Bible says we are his chosen people, a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. Oh, you didn't know you're peculiar. I was going to say, turn to your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. You know what the word peculiar literally means? It literally means belonging exclusively to. So when you analyze the word in that connection, I belong exclusively to God. I'm his. That's why I'm blessed. That is why I'm blessed. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. See, David had his confidence in God. For he knows that one day he will dwell in God's house. His heart is set on the road that leads to Jerusalem. And is not God the strength of our lives? Is not our hope and our confidence set on worshiping him one day face to face in the heavenly Jerusalem? Because as for me, as for David, I will awaken his likeness and I will be satisfied. And I can only imagine what it will be that moment when I take my last breath here on earth and my next breath in heaven. I can only imagine. But this I do know, as like King David, I will be satisfied. I will be satisfied. That's my hope. It's in resurrection. It's not in reincarnation or any other Eastern philosophy or religion. My hope is in resurrection, meaning that I will be as I am, only in a new body. It's not wonderful to know you are blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Verse 5. See, his focus was on reaching Jerusalem. His heart is set on pilgrimage. And then he goes on to say, who, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a well or they make it a spring. See, this is when the journey becomes tedious, becomes hard to bear because of the experience of a valley. We all like living on the mountaintop, don't we? But what about the valley? What about the valley experience? The times when there's darkness, appears to be darkness, confusion, anxiety. Those experiences where I struggle greatly with my own emotions. What about those valleys? Listen to what the psalmist said. Who passing through the valley of Baca? Now, the valley of Baca was called the valley of weeping. Why? Because of the balsam trees in the valley which would weep. And what would happen is that these balsam trees would dry up the ground, so they made the valley a dry place. But the man whose strength is in God will transform his valley into a place of refreshment. And here is my word for you this morning, friend. If you're struggling with everything that's going on in your life, here's my word for you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, amen, joy comes in the morning, amen. That's my word. And so I will go on from grace to grace, strength to strength. Because I know that joy is coming. And we too know the power of the Lord who can make the dry season of our soul into a place of springs. Let me read it for you. Verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Listen, verse 7. And each one appears before God in Zion. Did you get that? They're going through a hard experience of weeping, dryness. But each one appears before God. Where? In Zion. They reach their destination. They reach their destiny. Not one is lost. Amen. And we too will reach our destiny in God, no matter what affliction may come. Thank God, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No famine, no nakedness, no peril, no sword. Thank God, each one of us will appear in our heavenly Zion before God. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's just take a little closer look at verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca. They're passing through. Did you get the words? They are passing through. You see, the psalmist knows his goal. He knows his destination. He knows his destiny is not some valley of dryness or weeping or hardship or pain or suffering. That is just for a season. He's passing through. And can I assure you, regardless of what is going on in your life at present, you are just passing through. It's not the end. It's not your goal. It's not who you are. It's not your destiny. You're passing through. David said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord before me always. Because he's up my right hand, I shall not be moved. Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart, listen, my heart instructs me in the night season. Let me ask you a question, and it's a challenging question. When you're going through the night season, or the valley experience, what advice do you take from your heart? What advice do you take from your heart? David says, my heart instructs me in the night season. And his instruction was to set the Lord always before him. And when you set the Lord always before you, amen. When you set the Lord before you, that is your focus, amen. You're not looking to the right nor to the left. You are focused on him and him only. Even though there is pain and affliction and suffering, yet your heart will instruct you, amen. See, verse 6 here in Psalm 84, it speaks of endurance. It speaks of tenacity of heart. A spirit that will not give up. Despite the difficult circumstances, God wants you to maintain your love for him and to know his sustaining grace. And in your own personal valley of weeping, you may be experiencing the cold winter of death, or maybe bereavement. Maybe it is a dark night of doubt because you no longer feel God is with you. For others, the valley of Baca might be a season of depression where joy is withered and somehow you're not motivated to go forward. You are weary of the demands of life and the responsibilities you have in life. And you see no hope. This morning, I want to throw you a lifeline. And if you feel that you're drowning in the midst of your despair, here is your lifeline. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord. Sometimes we feel our winter, our weeping may never come to an end. It was C.S. Lewis in Narnia, the presence of the White Witch. Her job was really to give no hope. Her occupation was that it is always winter, but never Christmas. I have good news for you this morning. The winter has come to an end. The valley of Baca is not your destination. And I love, as Solomon puts it in the Song of Songs, he said, oh, my beloved spoke and said to me, arise, oh, my love, my fair one, come away. For winter is past, the rain is over and gone. See, getting out of the valley may take some time. but you will go through it. And God at times will allow us to travel through darkness. God at times will allow us to go through periods we call winter, because in those times we learn to trust him more. Paul said, if I must boast, I will boast in these things concerning my infirmity. If I have to boast, I will boast in my weakness. And then he went on to quote, he said, for my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, take pleasure in infirmities, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. See, the worst thing I can do whilst passing through the valley of Baca is to sit down and have a self-pity party. You know, people, they like to have a self-pity party, and they want you to join the party. And it's really complaining about life, what life owes you. It's always about negativity, and it's always complaining about this and that. And so it's a self-pity party. But the moment you have a kind of self-pity party, you're giving an opportunity to the enemy to steal your joy and peace in life. You need to rise from your winter. You need to get up. You need to move on. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You need to understand that in all things give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, in verse 6 we read, and they make it a spring. I love that. I love that. Remember, the balsam trees in this valley would make the place dry. The trees would weep, therefore the ground was dry. But this person going through the valley of Baca, whose strength is in God, they go through the valley and they make it a place of refreshment. Isn't that ironic? That a dry place becomes a place of springs. Do you know that God and his power of grace has the ability to give you all that you need to help you in your weariness, in your valley, in your dryness? Amen. That's the word I have for you today. Weeping may endure, but joy comes. Joy comes. Joy comes. I love the way the Living Bible puts it. It will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after the rains. You see, it's only under adversity that we can discover some of the greatest realities of our spiritual experience. So how do we transform our valleys into a place of blessing? Well, you need to arm yourself. You need to be armed with patience. It means that you will have stickability. I've discovered in church and life, sometimes as Christians, we want it all easy. And when a little bit of pain comes, or maybe someone speaks to you the wrong way, maybe something that has to be spoken, we run away. We run away. You need patience. Patience to discover that God is with you. And God wants to speak into your life. Patience. You need faith. The just shall live by faith. You need persistence. Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day. You need to lay hold of the promises of God. Amen. You take hold of those promises. And you need to renew your mind. If you're going to transform your valley, your circumstances of dryness and weariness into a place of refreshment, it is your attitude that is so important. It was John Maxwell, I came up with this quote, I think it was John Maxwell. He said, your attitude will determine your altitude. And how true that is. Your attitude to how you face things will determine your altitude. And I do pray that we will know how to renew our minds. The Bible makes it clear that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. And I believe that one of the greatest keys in transforming the valley experience into a place of blessing is our attitude, the way we think. That is why we've been told to put on the helmet of hope of our salvation. Listen as we come to an end. Verse 7. And they go from strength to strength. And each one appears before God. They reach their destination. They reach their destiny. And we too, no matter what the enemy may throw at us, we will reach our final destination. Because nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God.